Hello everyone and welcome back to Care to Share with me, Valentina, joined by the lovely Ali Fallon. I don't know why I always say secondary. It's like force of habit.
Yeah, I mean, that's
and
fair.
And her actual name's obviously Alisara as well, and I just say Ali Fallon by accident.
That's absolutely fine. But as usual, I will start with our medical disclaimer, which might be one of the last because, you know, I'm about to move out of York.
I know, this is actually our last podcast.
Yeah.
It's sad. Pretty sad. I can't think about it, Ali.
It's fine. We've got
well,
London
no, it's
edition.
Our last cancer awareness podcast, I'd say.
Yeah, before we move to more young adult themes. But
which
anyway,
I'm excited for, to be honest.
Medical disclaimer. We are not medical practitioners.
Also, before we start, I'm going to preface this episode by saying that Ali's actually tipsy right now.
Sorry, I went to the pub. My friend's got their dystasia results back today.
She's mildly tipsy, but Ali can handle her drink.
I'm
That's
good. I'm
difference.
A good drink handler.
I didn't even know she was drunk. She actually said, well, not
it just
drunk.
Makes me bubbly. It makes me
she
bubbly.
Was like, I'm feeling tipsy, but not too tipsy. And I was like, yeah, you know what? Good. I was like, that's going to create a great kind of vibe for the
days.
Show. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bubbly Ali. Okay.
No, it's like one of those things where you just, I'm in a different headspace.
She seems, she's all. Smiling as she's talking. I wish you could see her.
But anyway, medical disclaimer. We are not medical practitioners, nor will we ever be. We've actually just got our marks back. We've both got 2 1s in history. And that's us. We're not going to get any more education for this. We're never going to be medically educated is what I'm trying to say. So
we've whipped Ali, by the way, because if you listen to the last podcast, and actually if you listen to the whole journey of the season so far, it's been a very
stressful
journey, yeah. But Ali got her marks back and absolutely smashed it with
Thank you.
What was it, 76?
In disease. Colby.
Which
me.
Is the one we talk about the most as well on the show.
We do, and look at us getting first in disease.
What can I say?
What can we do with ourselves? Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, medical disclaimer, we are not medical practitioners, nor will we ever be. Take everything we say a pinch of salt. We try to be as medically factual as we can. Obviously, Valentine's got a bit of first-hand experience. Today, we've got a very
You're
exciting
speaking
interview.
Like an auctioneer, you know?
I'm trying to get it fast. Obviously, because we keep going off track, medical disclaimer really fast. We're not medical practitioners. We will never be. We try to be factual, but we may not be. That's it.
Okay.
That's the disclaimer.
This is so concerning. Sorry, I've just found the actual wire to my headphones and they're actually not plugged in.
Oh my god,
in.
That's where they are. Because I can't hear anything.
No, yours are plugged in.
I can't hear it. They're from another mic. I can't hear anything. This helps.
For the past 3 weeks, Ali's been putting earphones on.
No.
Are we just
today? Just today.
Just today? Oh, right. So she put earphones on today and she went, that's so weird. Like, I can't hear anything. They were just not plugged into the actual studio. You'd think, you know, when we were on this podcast as well, like back in the day, we actually said, like even last year, we said, oh, I can't wait till next year, like we're going to be so good at this by the end of it. And today I had to seriously contact the URY again because I was like, why is the volume not playing out of the playing out the studio, playing out the earphones? So yeah, we haven't really improved, to be honest.
Sorry, ignore the faffing what I'm doing at the moment.
She's just trying to plug her earphones
in. I can hear
it
if I hold it at a certain angle, so I'm just trying to...
But yeah,
maybe that's why they were unplugged, because they're being a bit special.
I
can hear myself. Right, this one could be a bit messy. Oh,
right,
there
okay.
we go. I've got it. I've got the angle.
We're coming back down to earth to actually explain what is going on today. So basically, obviously, this is the last episode, and we really enjoyed like obviously speaking every single episode, every podcast, even last season with the radio show when we had it last year. We've enjoyed every single one. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to do something a bit special for the last one that we thought could just be that just like extra bit helpful. And we've actually, because what we've been looking for this whole time is basically getting someone who is actually going through cancer right now. And obviously that's really difficult because sometimes when you're going through cancer, you don't really want to talk about it. Like, I definitely didn't, and I know a lot of people that don't as well. So we've actually managed to not only get someone who's going through it, but who's also became famous on TikTok, which famous is a weird word, but like, I think, to be fair, like, if you actually...
Viral.
Yeah, she went viral. Like, she got, like, loads and loads of, like, likes or whatever it is on TikTok that you get views, because she's from New York, and she posted her, and I've mentioned this before in the podcast, but we've actually, what's good is that we've got her on today, and we're going to have a Zoom call with her and basically get her life experience and the differences of like an American treatment of she really, really champions body positivity. And she basically returns to the point is that she's going through it right now. So I think that perspective is going to be invaluable for, you know, people going through it right now, or, you know, anyone who wants to just hear about, even if, like, for example, I'm thinking about my sister at the time when I was going through it, maybe like hearing someone else and their perspective would have helped her, because I wasn't sharing a lot from myself.
Well, I'd be keen to, just sorry, this is what I'm looking at on my phone, Valentina, promote her Instagram handle and so on, just so everyone, if you are curious, to have a look. And also, you know, she is very cute to look at for her content.
Yeah.
So her Instagram handle is RC Rombotis, which I may have butchered, but it's spelled A-R-S-I-E-R-O-M-B-O-T-I-S. And her TikTok, which I'm about to blurt through the microphone if I'm not careful, is... Bear with me. This is so exciting. Okay. RC Ewer. So it's...
okay, Ali will spell that out.
I am. So it's at RC. It's at ARSENIUHHH. And she has 1.8 million likes, 23,000
wow.
followers.
Wow.
And if you look at like her pinned videos, 3 million views, 1.8 million
incredible.
Views, 1.3 billion views. Like, she is stunning.
But she's inspiring. This is yeah. the one that I'm. This is why I'm so happy to actually come on with her, because she was the one that I was literally inspired by myself last mm-hmm. year, because she was posting a journey and she did it in a way that was actually like, I would have appreciated that so much. It's not for everyone, yeah. Like, some yeah. people don't even want to see it, but for a lot of people, especially for me, I would have loved to see that, because she made it very normal, very like our generation. You know, the way she handled things was like not this clinical way. It was like a very normal day-to-day way. Yeah, organic
raw.
Way. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Good way to describe it. Yeah.
Thank you.
So we're really excited to have her on. I think one of the key things that I want to talk about with her today is about body positivity. Because
mm-hmm.
she, if you do have a look at her TikTok, she basically posts... like every day, like different outfits and stuff, because I think she loves fashion and I think she works for like a fashion brand.
But yeah, her outfits are incredible.
Her outfits are lit, honestly.
Yeah.
And she posts them and she's just showing how like it's difficult to, you know, dress when your body's changing so much and it's like kind of out of your control because it's like mm-hmm. the chemo and stuff like that. So yeah, that's something that I think will be really useful, because for me, even when I was ill, I always say to Claudia, I didn't even realise how much weight I gained, but I gained a hell of a lot. I've never gained that much weight in my life.
Really, that's like one of the side effects, isn't it?
Yeah, and also I think you can either lose loads of weight or you can gain it, and also though, it changes your appetite. Like, I just became really like hungry and I just mm-hmm. kept eating everything. It was like an honestly bottomless pit in my stomach. Like, I could literally just eat everything. I was literally out eating, if that's even a saying, but like, I was basically getting ahead of my dad and my sister's boyfriend. I could have eaten more than them.
Yeah.
And yes, yeah, so obviously what happens with that, and I wasn't training, I was just doing my dog walks every day, which was like probably a lifesaver, to be honest, because God knows how much I would have actually gained if I didn't walk the dog.
Yeah, and I remember my aunt, she was slightly overweight when she started the chemo process, and she remember said to her doctor, she said, oh, well, at least I'll lose weight for the chemo, and they went, oh well, actually the one you're on is the gaining weight one, and she thought,
yeah.
oh
yeah,
okay.
No, it's true. So yeah. It's it can go either way, I think. I know girls that literally lost loads of weight because of it, but I think gaining it is probably preferable for them for treatment because
oh, 100%,
your body's
yeah.
stronger.
But that's what they said.
Yeah.
It's like, imagine if you came in and you were probably on the lower side of
yeah.
like the healthy weight, like you were like kind of nearly underweight, and then chemo made you lose loads of weight. Your chance of surviving would be way less, so it's better to gain weight
yeah,
and then
yeah,
lose
yeah.
it after than lose loads of weight and try to gain it. So
yeah, I just yeah. I don't know about everyone else, but for me, I just thought I really did, and I think what helps as well was lockdown, so I wasn't even seeing anyone, I didn't even care. I was literally just eating whatever made me happy. Like, I'd sit there and have like peanut M&Ms like out of a jar like for 3 hours.
You know, regardless of the cancer side of it, lockdown was a weird time for people with diets anyway.
Yeah,
like
100%.
I remember I went to uni, so in September 2019, I went to uni, and then I was, you know, just obviously having the best time of my life. I got tonsillitis and I couldn't eat for about a week in February 2020. So I thought to myself, oh, why don't I just go, like, check how much I weigh? So I probably would have, like, weighed a lot less. And I was, like, 2 stone heavier. And you don't notice the weight creeping on. And that, I feel like, is probably, you know, even when, like, with chemo, where you're being told that you might gain weight, you're going to look at yourself differently, because after that I looked at myself differently. And I think it's really important. Like, we've discussed your body image before, and I think one of those things, like, that changed for me. I didn't have the cancer element of it. So yeah, it is really interesting to hear other people's perspectives, particularly with when the reason they gain weight is cancer.
But the thing is, with, like you said though, even just being young girls, like in your 20s, like, your body, people struggle with body image on a daily basis anyway, like you said. So having something like cancer, which you're dealing with anyway, like, actually ruining your body image. Because, like, I don't know about Arcy, but for me, I was never really worried about, like, my body. Like, obviously, there's insecurities. Of course there is. I'm not, like, you know, thinking I'm perfect. I have my own insecurities. But I was never, you know, I never worried really about it. Like, even if I gained a little bit of weight or lost a bit of weight, like, it was never substantial enough for me to even care. Like, I just thought, whatever.
Well, it's like some of the most beautiful, but people who consider the most beautiful women on the planet, like, you know, Bella Hadid, blah, blah, blah. They get in trouble for photoshopping photos. Even they aren't insecure.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
It's...
Can't believe you just compared me to Bella Hadid.
Sorry.
No, I know what you mean, though. Like, no, models don't really do. And this is it, like, people come in all different shapes and sizes, but it's when you're comfortable. Actually, when I got to a point where I was actually comfortable, then cancer comes and just says, actually, I'm going to completely change your body image, and now you have to deal with something else that's not... It didn't even look like me in the mirror.
Well, yeah, well, the point of the girl series that we're going to be interviewing is that she posts these really interesting videos where she's saying, posting every day until I like my body and stuff like that. Which I think is interesting, because I look at her and I think she's beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting, it's like self-perspective.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important part of
it.
Because I know for a fact that you mentioned in one of our previous podcasts that when you gained weight and you finished all the treatment, you felt like you had an element of control in the sense of, like, you could lose weight. So it's, I feel like maybe it's one of those things where your control's been taken from where what you look like.
100%. Your control's taken. Yeah. Like, I mean, my hair's been such a long journey. If you've been on, if you listen to the show, like, I've literally been waiting for it to grow. Can't control my hair. Like, it literally will just take as long as possible. The only thing I could control was, because I was lucky enough it didn't all fall out, I was able to get extensions. But actually, like, controlling its growth now, you all know, like, I've always say, like, oh, I'm just waiting for it to just get to a certain length so I can get them out, and then like, it's something you can't control. It's very frustrating, and, like, I deal with it on a daily basis because I wake up and that's not my identity still, even to this day. But you've got to just see the positives in things as well. Like this girl said, just look at the way she's, like, dealing with it every day. Like, I'm posting it until I love it. Like, you've got to, like, try and really, like, there's nothing else you can do but work around it almost.
Yeah, particularly with you guys as well. You're so young.
Yeah.
That when you look back at yourself from when you first started treatment, your body probably would have changed regardless of cancer from that point.
Yeah.
But you're still probably looking back at that image of what you once were. But you guys are so young to have cancer and go through that.
Very, very true. Even my hair, like, to this day, I'm thinking, like, it's not even when I get my extensions out, it's not the same.
No.
So it's going to take a while for me to actually regain what I... But then, like you said, it's not... I won't even be the same as was when I was 20 years old.
Because
I'll probably
20,
be, like, 23 by the time, it probably, like, starts
to come 2 years ago, obviously I had cancer, but me 2 years ago, very different person, looking-wise, to me now.
Yeah. We said this the other day, didn't we? Like, I think it was you I was talking to, or it might have been our friend Jess, that... You've got to stop looking at your body when you were 17 years old and thinking, oh, I want that body back. Like, it's not, you've grown up. Do you know what I mean? You're an adult now. Like, you were a kid then.
Someone once said to me, try and love yourself now, because in 5 years' time, you'll look back at that photo that you once said, and think, I was beautiful.
Yeah.
And you'll just keep doing it again and again. Like, there are some photos where, obviously, my pubescent face was not ideal, but one's when I finished puberty, and I at the time I looked at that photo, I thought, that I can't go see the world. I look at it now and I think, oh, it's actually quite cute.
That's what I mean. I know, and it's funny, isn't it, because people now saying, especially, like, looking back at, like, 4-year-old pictures, I don't know, it's like a trend on TikTok now.
Yeah, I was about to say that trend on TikTok.
No, it's really sweet, and it's true, and, like, you would never say the things that you say to yourself and, like, you know, on a daily basis to those 4-year-old, like, you.
Yeah, it says, when I mean to myself, I think back and
I think I'm being mean to her, and then it pans to the photo of young you. Because I would never, like, imagine looking at yourself when you're younger going, you're a fat, ugly bitch. Well, like, you just wouldn't. It's like, just a bit brutal version, but you know what I mean?
You know, yeah, it's true. Like, you wouldn't. You wouldn't be like, oh, like, you wouldn't say, oh, like, your legs are, like, big or whatever. Yeah. Like, oh, you've got a spot. Like, you would never say that because it's so, like, nasty. And that's what you should. And it's such an interesting point of view because you shouldn't speak to yourself like that today. That's the point.
Well, it's been like, I've been going through a lot of exam stress and, like, changing conceptions. So my skin, I've been very fortunate that my skin's never been bad. And at the moment, I've got two big fat spots. And to me, that's, like, horrific.
Can't even see them, by
but
the way.
But I have friends who have, like, cystic acne. Mm. And I don't even process that there's something on their face.
Yeah.
And but I'm so mean to myself about it.
Yeah, same. I've got one as well. And it's just like, oh, I hate it. Yeah. But like, I don't, also, I think what has happened to me is that I learned to not care as much. Like, I think it's kind of made me a bit more insecure, but then now I'm learning to actually not care. So sorry, you probably just heard, like, someone, because we share a studio with someone else, so you might have heard, like, some background noise there.
Turn it down, but I was about to say, I was about to be like, Tina, stop the podcast. Okay.
But that's probably actually a good point to leave it. And I think the next part of the show should be about RC, and we'll talk about all this with her, which I'm really, really looking forward to talking to her about. So yeah, we'll return with RC in a moment.
Yeah. A few different boroughs.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I work in the city every day, not every day, but 5 days a week. So I commute from my home to the city, like Manhattan, every day.
What do you do for work?
I'm a lead supervisor at a fashion house on Fifth Avenue.
I knew you were in fashion. I was like, she's got to be in fashion.
We recorded the first part of this podcast where I was talking about how nice your outfits are.
Oh, I appreciate it. It does mean a lot to me. I mean, I've had trouble lately just because, like, nothing fits, but I try to make it happen.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what I think we want to talk about a lot today. So mm-hmm. I've sent you a few questions in advance, just like out of curiosity, to prompt you. So if you want to just tell us a little bit about your journey, would be, I hate to say journey, because I feel like everyone always says journey, but just about what happened to you and stuff like that, because obviously it's very different in America to what it's like here in the UK. So it'd be really interesting just to see, you know, that different perspective, basically.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear how it's different in the UK, because I would have thought it would have been the same. But actually, I connected with this one girl that was diagnosed with lymphoma around the same time as me. And she's from a small town near Greece. So my parents are from Greece. So my background is Greek. So it was interesting to see what her doctor told her to do in terms of, like, a diet regimen. It was completely different from what I was told. She was told not to do any meat, not to do any sugar, really to just become full-on vegetarian for those 6 months. I was just told to do my thing and to just be careful. Yeah, so I thought that was interesting. Which, now thinking back, I probably should have done something like that so I didn't gain all the weight. And I know it's mostly because of the meds, but it probably would have helped me if I did kind of cut out some of those meats and sugars and stuff like that, which I'm doing now, a little late in the game, but... Yeah.
But this is it. Like, we talked about this, and what's difficult is that for me, I gained loads of weight as well when I was going through it. And we mentioned it at the beginning of the podcast because I just didn't care. Like, I was just eating a bit, like, you know, at the start, like, I just didn't concern myself about what to eat and what not to eat. And my appetite, like, grew massively. So then I was just eating everything that I could literally see. And I just thought, if it makes me happy, I really don't care. So I just kept eating everything. Yeah. But then, like, you, like, I got to a point where I was like, oh my God, I've actually gained quite, like, a bit of weight. Like, that's so, like, I wasn't tracking it. But then all of a sudden I realised, because, like, it was actually when I think my, because even though they were weighing me every single week, I didn't clock. I just didn't compute with
Same.
Me. And then, when I tried when my clothes stopped fitting, like my joggers, and I was thinking, this has never happened before.
Never.
So yeah, I was going into, like, my mum's wardrobe and stuff like that, and then I was just actually going to my dad's, and I was like, something's going wrong here, honestly. But yeah, I never thought twice about restricting myself, basically. How did you find out that you actually had lymphoma?
I had a bump similarly to yours around my neck, right? You had a bump around your neck area. Yeah, it was right here, and I didn't think anything of it. I just thought it was just something. I was fighting some sort of, like, cold, and the lymph node just swelled up. And then it started becoming more tender and it started hurting me through my armpit area. So that's when I knew, like, when I couldn't do, like, my day-to-day stuff, there was, like, coming in the way of that. I was like, let me get this checked out. It doesn't hurt. And that's how I found out, yeah.
Yeah. And did you find out, so when you went to get it checked out, did they straight away think that could be cancer? Or did they actually, like, turn you away?
Yeah. No, I had a pretty good experience just because my primary doctor that I go to is a close family friend. So she's seen this before. So when she saw it and felt it, she was like, okay, like, this isn't normal. I have a strong gut feeling, or, you know, whatever that it is, lymphoma, non-Hodgkin's.
Yeah.
And she immediately was like, just check yourself into the hospital, which they didn't really do anything just because it was a holiday weekend. So it was kind of a waste of time. But I scheduled an appointment after that to get some scans done and then a biopsy. And that's when they found out. So if it wasn't for her, if she wasn't a family friend, I don't think I would have done this as fast or seamlessly.
That's quite similar to Valentina, because you were told it was a muscular strain by your doctor.
Yeah.
And then you went to see your chiropractor, who's also your uncle.
Yeah,
and then
he
said, this
is
not muscular.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's like when they're invested, like, obviously for like an emotional call, like mainly like emotionally invested, I mean, say that they actually like pick it up like quite quick, like, you know, quicker, or get a bit more concerned. It is interesting that there's that dynamic to it. And also, I don't know if you find the same, but there's a lot of similarities in a lot of stories, especially like with lymphoma, about young adults. And that's why we do the podcast, basically, because we just think that people don't speak about it enough, because it doesn't. People don't think it's going to ever happen to them. So we just basically do this show as like a platform, so that especially students and stuff like that can listen to if they're going through it, or their families have got it, because it's something that is pretty isolating, because not everyone gets it. The majority don't get it. That's why we do the show. So where are you at now then with your treatment? Like, how has it been for you? Have you like struggled, or like has it basically been like okay? Like, it's just like something you're just ticking off your list kind of thing, because it looks from TikTok like it's all like a very positive experience for you, but like obviously like we know that it can have its own like trials and tribulations. Is that the word?
Yeah.
At first, I'm probably the only person in the world that had this thought process when I first got diagnosed. I was excited only because I like being in difficult situations. I know that sounds weird, and somebody listening to this is probably like, she's crazy, but I like being put in difficult situations because I know that there's always a silver lining, and it's going to teach me something at the end of the day. So I knew something like this is a once in a lifetime thing that would change my perspective. So I was excited going into it. Fast forward now, 5 months into it, I'm doing 6 months of treatment. It's starting to hit home a little bit, just because I look so different on the outside, like looking at old videos and old photos. I don't get like any attention from the boys as much as I did, which is also hard, even though it's kind of like whatever, boys are boys. and also just like my hair, that's a huge part of it. Like, I make it work as best as I can, but I miss having a ponytail or like being able to like curl it. And it's mentally draining, but I know it's just like, it'll grow back. I'll lose the weight. Like, the boys will come back, but whatever. That's where I'm at right now.
No, that's it. It's so interesting, because that's exactly how I felt. Like, I know the thing is, what's interesting about what you just said as well, especially that the most inspiring part, like, obviously, is that first thing. Like, I've never heard, like you said, anyone who saw it in such a positive light like that. It is, genuinely, I wish I had someone like you at the time who said something to me like that. But the other thing, like, when you fast forward, it is this image. Like, that is the thing that concerned me as well. Like, even though you can get I'm sure you'll get like side effects, like, you know, the fatigue and stuff like that from the actual chemo. But for me, again, it was the exact same as you, where it was the image, and it's like the attention from the boys are not looking at you. And although that sounds funny, but it's true. It's one of those things you're used to, and then after this happens, like, it's like an adjustment. And the hair, like me, I nearly lost all my hair as well. You're doing pretty well though. Like, I feel like you're styling it out.
It just thinned extremely. I didn't lose a lot of it. I mean, I lost a big chunk, but it's mostly the thinning, and I think it helped me by cutting it, because a lot of the hair pulls.
That's so exactly that what also. I did myself. Mine thinned. You know how that, like, some can just fall out? Mine just thinned. And my treatment, like, I don't think I've actually shared my story with you, but basically my treatment got cut short after like 3 months of it. You know, I don't know if it's the same in America, but they basically said, like, you can actually, if there's none there, we'll just like do one more chemo and it's done. And it's kind of like very rogue for them to do that, but like it happened. So I was like that close to it. I was like, I'm going to shave my head the next treatment. I was like, I'm sick of this. I was like, I can't do this anymore. But like after that, I just thought, you know what, I'll just hold on for like dear life for it. So then I just got extensions and stuff, and it's growing back now. Like, it's just a process, isn't it? Like, the thing is, like you said, is that everything will come back. And you can lose the weight, your hair will grow, and like now you'll have this experience that will just help you in the future, like deal with other things. But yeah, you're so close to the finish line, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. You've got 1 month left.
Yeah.
It's so exciting.
It's so close. Now I'm kind of like, how long is it going to take for me to go back to normal?
Yeah.
Is it going to take, like, how many months did it take for you to kind of adjust back to your normal self?
So I think, to be fair, it was about probably 3 months that I actually just lost the weight and actually felt like myself again, because it was like, basically, I wanted to get my extensions, like I said, but because my hair was so thin, the lady I wanted to get them, she said, no, like, it's too thin, like, we'll damage your hair permanently. And she was right, looking back. So she basically said, the hair thing is like more of a process, because obviously it's growing back from like, you know, zero. So it does take a bit of time, but it does get there. Like, mine's like literally as thick as it was before I ever lost it. Yeah, and the weight just, it kind of does drop off you, because you stop the treatment. And if you're like exercise, don't get me wrong, like, I went on a diet and I exercise like literally every day. But then, like I said, 3 months and I was back to how I was before the chemo, because it does, like, I think I've seen you like exercising and stuff now, but what you might find is it's more difficult because you're fatigued and you've got like all this medicine pumped into your body. But after that, when that's gone, like, you'll find it'll happen a lot quicker. But I'm not going to lie, it's a process getting over it, and you're dealing with all the actual, like, mental stuff as well.
That's the thing, yeah.
Yeah, because it's a physical, but then, like, you are thinking about it a lot more then, because you've got time to, like, not just worry about your next chemo or anything like that. You're more thinking about, oh, what's actually just happened to me. But then again, like, that's also, you get used to that as well. It's kind of like an adjustment. Like, even me, like, initially I was thinking about it every day. But then afterwards, I think about it so much less now.
Sorry, somebody was calling me.
Okay. Oh, it's absolutely fine.
I was wondering, and obviously please feel free that you don't have to sit talk about this, but because you're in the States, did you have to pay for all the treatment, or do you have insurance?
Yes, so thankfully, the company I work for is a pretty large company. So I work for the brand Coach, and Coach is a conglomerate.
I love Coach.
You're taking a dream job.
Yeah, so thankfully, when I first started, like, 4 years ago, and I had to choose my insurance, I chose one of the more expensive ones. Just, you know, God forbid something happened. So I only had to pay, all in all, probably $2,000 for everything.
Okay.
Which wasn't that bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. No, that's not bad. Yeah.
It's just crazy, because I still can't. It shocks me, because we didn't have, obviously here we don't have to pay. So like, to hear you have to pay.
Oh, really?
No, like every, like, you, I don't know if you would have done the same as me, where you got the IVF treatment beforehand.
Yeah,
did you? Yeah, and that's obviously so expensive. And in the UK, you do have to pay for that. If you're just like, you know, struggling with fertility when you're older. But because it was cancer, like, they literally said that it's included, like, it's like included, it's like a holiday, like, all included. Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, so it was included. So so the thought that you have to pay for things is like, seems wild to me, just because I'm not used to that here.
But yeah, no, I was just curious about that, because obviously, I guess it's a different position if you were unemployed or you didn't have insurance. I was wondering, but yeah, no, that's good that Coach support you with that.
Yeah, if you're unemployed, it's really hard. If you don't have a job that has a good insurance, or if you don't have insurance, the amount you would have had to pay, which is crazy to think about, over hundreds of thousands, I would guess. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Madness. Yep. I can't believe you work at Coach as well. I'm so jealous. You literally
know. If you're ever like here, you know, I can help you. No, like, stop get my
it.
Discount.
Stop it.
I don't know.
I'm supposed to be going to New York this Christmas. I'm literally supposed to be going.
Oh, nice.
So I might have to take you up on it, because basically I was supposed to go when I was in what was it? It was actually lockdown, and then I got cancer. So, like, all these factors kind of played, and I was like, oh, I can't go now. But yeah, I'm supposed to be going this Christmas, but I'll let you know because 100% I'll pop in. That'd be so crazy.
Yes. I really want to go. I haven't
definitely
been.
Pop in. It's like also on Fifth Avenue, so it's like you have the center there. Yeah, so you have all of the shops and everything. Wow. So I'll be there.
But I like going to Coach London. But
yes, I love
New York. I definitely want to go to the New York one.
So you said also at the start, I don't think we caught it on the recording, but you said that you have your treatment and like now you're off for 4 days. So you've been working throughout basically having your treatment then? Is that what you've been doing?
Yes, I have. I did have the option to take like a leave, which if I took a full leave, they would pay me 100% of what I would be paying as working as a full-time worker. But I decided not to because I figured that would be really bad for my mental health to be home all day. And it's so much better to go into the store, commute in, see people, you know, be outside and you know, at the same time do my treatment. So that's a decision I made. And I'm so thankful I did because if I was home all day, I don't know what I would have done.
Well, yeah, and if
honestly.
You love your job as perfect.
I mean, that again is inspiring to me because I was like, it's even just like you, how like you actually just look really, I know this sounds weird, but you look healthy. Like you literally sat there like full of beans.
Yeah, you're like glowing, if that makes sense. Even though you're going through treatment, you are.
Thank you.
I was it's just such a comparison because when I was ill, I was like on the couch like, uh-huh. I was like, I can't believe how ill I am.
And that's okay too. And that's like whatever you have to do to get through it, whatever you have to do.
Yeah, it's so crazy to me. But it's like I said, this is honestly one of the most inspiring people like I've met. And the story, I think it'd be really, really helpful. I know it probably seems weird to you to like hear that, but honestly, like from our perspective, like that is genuinely the case. And I know like everyone on TikTok probably thinks so as well. Like I remember seeing you at the time and thinking, yeah, this is what we need to share. Like this is like the philosophy behind what we're doing. Like we want to show this like positive, like easy conversation to be had, basically. So yeah, I think that's pretty much like. Do you have anything to ask us or anything you want to know or anything like that?
I just think from the jump of whoever like goes through something like this to just have a positive outlook, as hard as it may be, just because my whole life before even I got diagnosed, I was always about like, you know, there's always a silver lining. You always have to have a positive outlook because that's what you attract in your life. So I knew from the jump that I couldn't sit and be depressed about this. I had to kind of take matters into my own hand and just be positive about it because I was in the situation. So if I was to be negative about it, it would just be like putting like oil to the fire. I don't know that comparison, you know, sounds like, no, I'm going to be positive. So like my advice for anyone is just, you know, try to find that silver lining as hard as it may be positive, make your TikToks, film your journey and just surround yourself by people that are good for you.
Yeah.
That's my advice. 100%. Yeah.
100%. That's fantastic. Yeah. That's such a nice thing to leave on as well. But yeah, thank you so much. And we're also really sorry about all the technical faults at the beginning.
No,
like, honestly.
It's on the same way.
And out of curiosity, we were just wondering what dog you had because we're actually dog obsessed, like obsessed.
Yes, he's a toy poodle. He's downstairs right now and he's all black. So he's a fluffy toy poodle.
So cute.
Yeah,
so
you've
cute.
Got, yeah. Your dog is a third poodle.
Yeah, third.
And then I've got two small white fluffy things, but my stepsisters have two standard poodles, so quite big ones.
Oh,
and one of them's all black as well. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So cute. Yeah, they're the best dogs. They really are so helpful, like through anything, through life. Yeah.
I got mine when I was diagnosed. I was like, my dad was like, you're never getting a dog. Like, we're never having one. Like, no, it's a big no. We only ever had cats. And I was like, I got diagnosed when dad, I was like, I'm going to need one. I was like, it's the only thing that's going to get me through. And he got me one. And that's
there
like, now we have Pablo.
I'm sure is he like obsessed with the dog now?
Yeah, he's obsessed. Like he's obsessed with Pablo now. Like
that's what happens.
Yeah, so we just had to get him in the house and now he's in love.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing this and taking time out of your day and we hope everything goes really well for you. Which we know
thank
it will.
You, thank you.
I will take your advice for ourselves in the future as well. Anything.
I'm glad, yeah. Just positive outlook. Push through.
Yeah, exactly. Positivity all the way. Thank you so much, Martin.
Thank
you.
Guys.
Bye, bye, bye.
Have a good day.
You too.
Glowing.
Like, yeah, I wish I could
someone
see
who does
her.
A treatment 4 days ago. She's glowing.
I've never.
2 days ago.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I said, to be fair, my initial reaction was when I came up to call, was like, I can't believe how, like, bad I felt and how, like,
good, like she appears and stuff like that.
No, she probably does have her bad days, but it's just focusing on the good ones.
And I think that's what was nice about that is that from what I've said on this show and from what she said on the show is that there's similarities, but there's also different approaches. Mm-hmm. And mine, yeah, I may have taken like things like quite, I probably, even looking back, I thought I was dealing with it positively, but maybe it was quite like, I've always said that it was wrong, that I never spoke to anyone about it. Whereas her outlook was, and she also had that like hindsight that I wish I had at the time, where she was like, no, you like go out and like go to work and stuff like that, immerse yourself, because it makes you feel like that normality, mm-hmm. which is a very unique perspective, because from like my experience and stuff like that, not everyone wants to do that, but then she's done that, and I think, look, like I said, looking back, it would have probably been very healthy for me to do something like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just offering that lovely like perspective, like I've never heard such inspiring words of someone. I thought I was like wise, mm-hmm. And when I hear someone else, like it's even wiser.
So everyone's journeys are individual.
They massively are, and that's what she said, and it's very true. Like,
you'll learn different strengths. And
even
stuff.
Girls that I was with at the time, they were going out and stuff like that as well. But like. Like for me, I just
depends what works.
Yeah,
for you,
it didn't work. Like it couldn't work for me. Like I think I'd do more now. Like I've been through it and I've got the hindsight. But
you won't stop. That's awful. You might going out. But you won't stop inviting me out places.
No, I'm not going out ever again after this month. Although I'm going to. No, I am. I'm going out after July and August. So I've got to stop at some point. The bank account will just run out. So yeah, and that's it from me and Ali at Care to Share.
Yeah,
which feels really weird to
end
say.
End of an era.
It's
end of an era, because the new era will be the London.
Yeah, exactly. Like
young adult.
This is the last one now, and I really enjoyed it. I feel good that we've done something like this. I feel like we've put positive things out into the world. And we thank you so much for listening with us and all the guests that we've had on for the past literally three seasons, from Tom, Ikram, Patsy, literally Lydia, and also Arcee now. We've really, really, really enjoyed having you on, and we're really thankful because you've helped us make Care to Share what it is. And yeah, we're excited to see where this is going to go in the future. And as always,
if in doubt, check it out.
Thank you so much, everyone. Bye.
Bye.